All right, so
the first thing I want to say before I even get into 2 Chronicles chapter 5 is that the Bible says in Psalm 47 that we should sing praises to God, sing praises. All right, we sing that, don't we? Sing praises to God, for God is the King over all the earth. But the verse ends by saying, sing praises unto him with understanding. And it's so important that we have understanding. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. Okay? We need to understand that praise is preoccupied with who God is and what he has done. We need to understand that. Praise is also a function of the will, not the emotions. So we praise God because we will ourselves to praise God, not according to how we feel. If we're going to follow feelings, we'll never praise God. So we understand that a praise is a force, and a force is something that causes change. So as I praise God, I'm expecting change. As I praise God, the God who hears will come and will cause a change to happen in our lives. So 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and it's a well-known story, both passages I'm referring to today. Here, the temple was completed by Solomon that God had commissioned him to do. And as the temple was completed, the scripture tells us that the articles that David had dedicated, all the furnishings that was already dedicated by David before he passed, was brought into the temple. Also, there was an innumerable amount of sheep, an amount of oxen that was brought. There was so much brought for sacrifice that they could not be counted. The Ark of the Covenant was also brought. And we see that, excuse me, in verse 11. And it's something interesting. Let me point this out a little bit. It's something very interesting that's happened. Nowhere in the Bible do you see priests going into the Holy of Holies, except here in 2 Chronicles 5. 2 Chronicles 5, the Bible doesn't tell us how many, but it said that the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant and placed it in the Holy of Holies. Okay? But the verse also tells us that they were not in their commissioning. Okay, that means they were not functioning in their commissions. They were not functioning in their proper duties at that time. They were just bringing it in. And so they brought the Ark of the Covenant in. The priests sanctified themselves. The musicians and the singers began to sing. And they began to thank God. And then we see the results of what happened. A cloud was present. And then the glory of God came down and filled the place. What I'm going to talk to you today is about worship and also warfare. And we're going to see where praise causes change, okay, in these two arenas. As people came and they praised God, and we noticed from 2 Chronicles 5, no organization of musicians and singers were made, okay? The people did it of their own accord. So the three things I want to point out here, then I'm going to 2 Chronicles 20. Three things I want to point out here, okay, from this story that's pertinent, I think, for us today, is number one, at keys of God's presence intensified, the priests sanctified themselves, and that's very important. Before, even though they were not in their commissions, they still had to sanctify themselves. Why? Because they're coming before a holy God, and they recognize that. So the Bible says that the priests sanctified themselves. The word sanctified means set apart for service. To make holy, it means to render clean. That's what the word sanctified means, very briefly. The Bible says in John chapter 17, and Jesus was speaking here, he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And there's another scripture that talks about us being clean by the washing of the word. So as we place ourselves under the word of God, we're washed. Isn't that good news, church? Amen. We're washed. You get up this morning, you read your scriptures, and maybe you read it out loud. You know what you're doing. You're washing yourself. You're making yourself clean. We're being sanctified by the truth, which is God's word. Okay? You are being sanctified. Okay? You are being cleansed. And this is why sometimes I say that, and I saw another scripture this week, I've been doing a lot of reading, where that demonstrated what I've always believed, that sometimes God forgives you without you even asking for forgiveness. And that's a beautiful thing. Sometimes our children may offend us. But, you know, we say in our hearts, you know what, I forgive them. They don't even know about it, but you forgive them for the wrong that they've done, for the wrong that they've said, for not doing what they're supposed to be doing, whatever it is. And it's the same with our Heavenly Father. But sanctification, folks, is important, okay? And sanctification talks about, I repeat myself deliberately, it's talking about setting yourself apart for service, okay? And that's the first thing that happened, the first S. The second thing that we saw is that the people brought sacrifices. Nobody told them to bring anything. They brought it. They brought it. They brought it. And why have I mentioned that? Am I saying that we should bring sacrifices of animals? No, I'm not saying that. As a matter of fact, that's why I put that scripture there from Jeremiah 33:11. Actually, that scripture there, Jeremiah was referring to this very story that we're talking about in 2 Chronicles 5. Let me read it. For the Lord, He is good. You know what? You're going to see in the two stories that I'm bringing you, the children of Israel, when they praise God, they were just singing two lines. And Jeremiah reminded us of what those lines were. For the Lord, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. And that's what you see in the two passages that I'm referring to right now, 2 Chronicles 5 and the other one that's coming. They were just singing two lines, that's all. For the Lord, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Singing about two attributes of God. Two. Wasn't a whole bunch of stuff. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. And as they sang, well, let me finish first. For His good, for His mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. And there's something else right there in that verse. As you praise God, God can set people free. As you praise God, God can, whatever it is that is holding you, God can set you free from it. It's not too big for God, church. Am I the only one excited about that truth? That, you know, no matter what it is, when I bring my praise to God, whatever it is that is holding me, it will be broken in Jesus' name. I can't tell you when, but it will be broken. And that's what this verse here was referring to. But Jeremiah was actually making reference to what happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. So, number one, what did they do? Sanctified. They sanctified themselves. The Bible says the priests sanctified themselves. There's somebody by the door. And number two, they not only sanctified themselves, but they brought sacrifices. Can I make this point to you? Let me make a couple of points before I push off from this, okay? Church, I hope that today you have come into the house of God willing to make sacrifices to the Lord. And we need to bring a sacrifice of praise. What is a sacrifice of praise? Let me give you a definition for sacrifice pretty quickly. A sacrifice is something of value that is given to another for a greater purpose. A sacrifice is something of value that is given to another for a greater purpose. Psalm 116 verse 17 says, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. No matter how you feel, you don't praise God according to how you feel. You praise Him despite how you feel. I may not be physically 100%, but as I enter into the house of God, I'm determined that I'm going to bring the sacrifice of praise. My body doesn't want it, but I'm going to make that sacrifice. And I'm not going to follow feelings, but I'm going to praise God. Are you here, church? I'm going to lift Him up high. Your sacrifice must cost you something, whatever it is that you're offering to God. So yes, it might be a bit difficult because of the constraints in your body, but thank God we prayed and we took authority over that just now, over sickness. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, just believe God. And when you're praising God this morning, just believe that shackles are broken, chains are broken, burdens are lifted. Believe it. Believe it. Okay? And you know something? When you believe something, folks, you practice it. So as you're worshiping, let your hands be free this morning to worship. Let your voice sound it out loud. Let me point something to you. In 2 Chronicles 5, the Bible mentions, it was there, isn't it? The Bible mentions that 120 priests presented themselves to blow the trumpet. Pause for a moment. I know I'm on a timer. Pause for a moment and think about that. Listen, when one trumpet sounds, how many people know how a trumpet sounds? It's very loud, isn't it? Very loud. When one trumpet sounds, that thing is very loud. You see, my voice is so loud. It's very loud. But can you imagine? Think for a moment. 120. You know, I would to God, but no disrespect to the stewards, that when we're praising God, everything comes tumbling down. Not everything, the signs. I don't want the roof tumbling down on us this morning. But, you know, we just raise the praise, man, and just change the atmosphere and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Is he worthy to be praised? 120 priests with trumpets alone stood up and blew that trumpet. And that's why the word for praise is the word halal. I'm getting there. Maybe I'm going ahead of myself. It's a word halal. And that means to celebrate. It means to rejoice. It means to shout. So when they were praising God, it wasn't a quiet thing. Can you imagine? If it was quiet, then the trumpets would drown them out. But they did it loud and deliberate, because they knew the God that they were serving, and they just wanted to lift up his name, irrespective, perhaps, of what was going on in their own life at the time. Psalm 116, let me give you this and I'll move on. Psalm 116, verse 17 says, I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. So I could go on and on and on. Hebrews 11, 15. Did I mention that? I don't think I did. Hebrews 11, 15, very pertinent one. It says, therefore let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks. So when we stand today to praise God, we are doing it deliberately, we're doing it consciously, we're lifting him up, and we're going past feelings, we're focusing, if you like, our feelings to give our God praise. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number three. The music and the singers were praising God with one sound. There is a Hebrew word, halal. One sound. One sound. But listen to this. That means there was not only unity. All right. I can almost say that we're in unity here this morning, those of us that are here. We're here, and we're here to hear God's word and to praise him and to bless one another and edify one another, however that might be. But there's more to that one sound than just unity. There is also harmony. Come on, everybody say harmony. Harmony. In other words, then we just didn't look like one. Guess what? We sounded like one. Everybody might be singing different parts. The Bible says that harps were brought, stringed instruments were brought, the trumpeters were brought, and those on the loud cymbals were also there. But everything was in harmony. One sound. Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he goes on to describe it like the oil poured on Aaron, the high priest, from the crown of his head running through his beard and on his garments. So, note this, church. They praise God of their own accord. No, we can't force anybody to praise God here. The worship team leaders, their duty and their job is not to force you to praise God, but to lead you into the Holy of Holies. That's what their job is every Sunday. Praise was only two lines, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That's all. That's all they sang. They sang of God's goodness and his mercy. They were bringing the sacrifice of praise, and look where they brought it, at the east end of the altar. An altar is a place where an exchange is made. So I believe they were exchanging their feelings, perhaps, for what God was going to do. I give you my praise, Lord, and I lay down my feelings. and I receive your blessings, Lord. I receive your protection. What else did they get from that? Well, the Bible tells us that two things happened. Number one, the cloud came down and filled the temple to the point where, guess what? The priests could no longer minister. But something else happened. Not just the cloud of glory was seen, but the glory itself came down. The cloud represented God's presence, and the glory represented God's power. Both were seen in the house of God. Both were seen in the house of God, man. How many people are believing for God's cloud and glory to be seen? And this wasn't something of a mental conclusion that they came to. This was something that was real, that happened. The priest could no longer minister. Can I make reference very quickly to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 and 2? We see again people gathered at the temple. But this time they were outside the temple. And the people brought sacrifices again, chapter 7. And this is something that I've never seen or can't remember seeing before until I was reading this week on that scripture. The Bible says that the fire of God came down and consumed the sacrifices. God accepted the sacrifices that were brought, and he sent down fire from heaven on those sacrifices. But the Bible says this in verse 2. It says that the cloud and the glory of God came down and overshadowed and filled the temple to the point where the priests could not go into the temple to minister. 2 Chronicles 5, they were in the temple, cloud and glory came down, priests could no longer function, minister. 2 Chronicles 7, it came down, the cloud and the glory came down, but the people could no longer, the priests could not even go inside the temple because of the presence and because of the cloud of glory. They couldn't go inside. And I thought, wow, to myself, that's brilliant. Second passage. So that's to do with worship. So as you bring your worship, as you bring your praise this morning, okay, remember that God is on the throne. 2 Chronicles 20, let's have a look at that. And here, we're talking about warfare. And 2 Chronicles 20, the background is this. Three nations had gathered around Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to destroy them. Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. They gathered around them in 2 Chronicles 20. Okay? And to destroy them. So when news came to King Jehoshaphat, this is what Jehoshaphat did. He sought the Lord. He prayed. They all came before the Lord. The prophet Jehaziel stood up and he began to prophesy words to them. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Go down. Set yourselves. Stand still. You will prosper. And then, the next morning they rose up, and the Bible says that Jehoshaphat organized the singers. In 2 Chronicles 5, no organization of singers and music. Here we see them being organized. And the Bible says in verse 21-22 that they praised God. They praised God. Now, this was warfare. Okay? Before we're looking at the celebration of the temple. Okay, of Solomon that he built. Now we're looking, and this is a different circumstance altogether. Same people, but now they're faced with warfare. And God told them what to do. He said, this battle is not yours. Don't worry about it. Just do what I tell you to do. And everything's going to be okay. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, just do what God says. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Three key points. I'm not staying long on this. Three key points. Number one, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. Church, your first response in every single given situation should be to seek the Lord. Can I get a loud amen? That's your first response. Lord, what should I do? That's what Jehoshaphat did. That's what David did when he came back from warfare, victory, and then found his camp ravished, the women and children gone, taken by the enemy. He went straight into the temple, grabbed a hold of the horns and said, Lord, What should I do? That's what Jehoshaphat did here. Number two. No. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Psalm 34, verse 10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Can I ask you something? Do you serve a good God?
Amen.
No, I can't hear you. Do you serve a good God?
Yeah.
We serve a good God. Now, if our good God tells us, in his word tells us, that if we seek him, we shall not lack any good thing. That means every good thing that God wants us to have, guess what? It's ours in Jesus' name. It's ours. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So I've got to set myself in every single situation. And believe me, we're in warfare now. We've got to seek the Lord. That means you've got to find yourself at the place where you need to be in to seek God the way that he wants you to seek him. You've got to pray, not just by yourself, but with your church. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You've got to read and study God's word, not just in your own time, but with your brothers and sisters. You've got to do it, man. You've got to do it God's way. Number two. Second key to victory in warfare, because they had victory, and I'm going to show you what victory they had at the very end. Number two, the people obeyed. Here they are, surrounded by three different countries, ready to destroy them. Looked like they were going to be destroyed. Looked like they're going to lose this one. Looked like this is the end now. How many times have we been there? How many times have we been there? Looked like it's not going to happen. Looked like it's the end. And yet God, bam! Comes right down into that. God spoke to them and said to them, this battle ain't yours. It's mine. It's mine. And he said to them, position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now listen, for them to have victory, even though the battle wasn't theirs, they still had to be in the right position. Are you hearing me? They had to be at the right place. Position yourself. Stand still. Some of us are busy. We're just busy. We've got to do this. No. God sometimes says, no. Position yourself. And now that you position yourself, stand still. If you don't stand still, you're not going to see the salvation. Because you're busy trying to make it happen. But God is saying, I've already done it. I got this. God says, I got this. Stand still. And then see salvation. That word salvation means deliverance. It means everything gained, nothing missing. The Hebrew and the Greek is the same. Different words used, but it's the same meaning. And God is saying, hey, I got this. Your salvation, your protection, your deliverance, everything I have for you, guess what? I've got it. It's the victory is yours.
Amen.
All they needed to do was do what? Praise God. Obey. They need to praise God. So, the people prayed. The people obeyed. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. This was applicable to them as it is to us today, actually. Now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high. Listen, God loves you, he's interested in you, and God wants to set you on high, church. It doesn't matter how high you are now. God wants to set you even higher. He wants to promote you. He wants to bring you into prominent places. He wants to use you. He wants to his love to be enveloped around you. But you've got to trust him. And what you've got to also do is you've got to praise him. Come on, church. You've got to praise him. You've got to praise him. Number three. And then I'm almost finished. They praise God. Three keys. So key number one was what?
Sanctified.
Key number one was what?
What story are you talking about?
No, 2 Chronicles 20. That's where we are now.
He sought the Lord.
Sought the Lord, that's it. I almost agreed with that sanctification. That's it, almost. I said, no. They sought the Lord. Come on, everybody say, seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord.
While he may be found, man. They sought the Lord. That's what Jehoshaphat did. All right? In fasting and in prayer. Key number two, this story.
They obeyed.
Jehoshaphat said some things. And then Jehaziel got up and said some things. And the people could have ignored it and just did their own thing, but they didn't. They set themselves to obey God, or to obey his prophets, his, the men that God placed and used. So they set themselves to praise him, to obey him. And then number three, they praised. The Bible says they stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with voices, here we go again, loud and high. Loud and high. Loud and high. Loud and high. You know what that's telling me? They were deliberate in what they were doing. They were unapologetic in what they were doing. And they were bold in what they were doing. And they were doing it, I believe, as Psalm 47 says, they were doing it with understanding. They were praising God with the understanding that God has already given me victory. Not going to. He's already given me victory. Because he spoke it. Don't miss this. God has already given you victory. You see, some of us, our minds, we go to our current circumstance and we go, how come I feel like this? No. If they did that, they wouldn't have seen the manifestation. But they believe God. You know, God is looking for people who will believe him, irrespective of everything else. That's what God is looking for. They praise him with voices loud and high. So, let's have a look then at the results of praising God. And then I'm finished. Let's have a look at this. Victory in the wilderness. In a barren place where you should really drop down and dead and for thirst and starvation. No, they had victory. And by the way, right at the edge of the wilderness was where God told them that the enemies would be. So God not only said, I'm going to give you victory, but he told them where they're going to be. Where the enemy is going to be. And it was at the edge, right by the brook at the end of the wilderness of Jeruel. I think it is the wilderness of Jeruel. The enemies were defeated. Wealth came in. They blessed the Lord. They returned with joy. They went to the house of God. The fear of God came upon the nations because they heard what God was doing with this set of people who were his. And they had rest. Oh my gosh. How many of you today are going through battles? And I'm telling you that your battles, they're coming to an end. God is going to bring you to a place of rest. The struggles that you've seen through the years, and the struggling for this, and the struggling for that, and the struggling for to go ahead, for this to happen. And so God is bringing you to a place of rest. Listen, church, keep your eyes on him.
Yes.
And stay true to his word. And watch and see God do the rest. Because he will. Let me end with a few significant scriptures. God inhabits the praises of his people. If you understand that, you can't come into God's house quiet or skum, stum. You can't do that. Don't care what kind of morning you had. When you understand that God inhabits, what does the word inhabit mean? It means to live in. When you inhabit something, you're occupying it. God is occupying your praises. When you offer it to him, he's going to smell it as a sweet-smelling savor, as the scripture says. Come down and say, what's happening here? Now, before you know it, God's presence intensifies amongst his people. I'm telling you this because the Lord, I believe, wants to let you know that his presence, he wants to intensify his presence among his people. But as we praise him, you know what we're doing? As we praise him, we are calling him down, man. And God will come down and inhabit our praises. Psalm 50:23, whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So you hear a word like this and you know you've got to change your conduct. You change your conduct because you want to be right in the flow of God's word. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. Well, your praise is clothing God. That's what's happening. And then the reverse is also true. I can't remember if I put that scripture up in my mouth because I think I'm coming to the end now. Where God says that we should put on the garment of praise. Isaiah 61 verse 3. We should put on the garment of praise for what? Say it out loud, church. For what? for the spirit of heaviness. So if we have the spirit of heaviness, I could barely make it to church. I could barely. That's the spirit of heaviness. Why are you going to keep it? Why are you going to entertain it? Well, more importantly, how are you going to get rid of it? You get rid of it by glorifying God, by praising God. Are you here, church? Are you hearing me? So your praise glorifies God. God comes down. And before you know it, the atmosphere changes. Before you know it, something's happening. And I'll tell you where God's presence is intensified. That's a place for miracles. You want healing? First, you've got to show up. How many people sometimes want healing, but they can show up, but they don't show up? We excuse ourselves from not being in church when we can be. Sad, very sad, sick state of affairs when that happens. And it ought to be the reverse. I think of... All right. You can expect God to intervene when you have taken time to intercede. And I'm just going to end on this note here. Persistent, perpetual praise produces power. I want your life, church, God wants your life, more importantly, to be perpetually filled with praise. So praise is not something that is forced, something that it should be something that naturally comes from my heart, irrespective of how I feel. Now, I want to stand on our feet right now. I'm finished.